Hello, and welcome back to IDG's Ahead of the Pack podcast, brought to you by AWS. Enterprises are looking for ways to capitalize on data to accelerate their business agility. Innovations in cloud, artificial intelligence, and machine learning provide tools and methods that address these opportunities and challenges. Ahead of the Pack is a series of podcasts with thought leaders who share their experience on how enterprises are leveraging these tools and the outcomes they are achieving. I'm Tim Crawford, CIO Strategic Advisor at Avoa, and your host. Today's topic, why your on-prem IT environment won't cut it in the modern world. Our guest today is Sean Bice, VP of Databases at AWS. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great, Sean, and I'm glad that you took the time to join us today. Before we get started, maybe you can take a minute and just introduce yourself and your role at AWS.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I'm Vice President of AWS Databases, and I lead the AWS efforts to help organizations lower costs, reduce complexity, and accelerate innovation by optimizing their database investments to support their long-term data strategies.
Now, that's great. And let's start our conversation by talking about something that I know is near and dear to your heart as well as mine, and that's cloud. You know, today there are mature and secure cloud-based resources. Are there any compelling reasons why folks should be thinking about keeping data or resources on-prem today?
Yeah, so we understand that not every workload can move. There are some that may require low latency access to on-premise systems or local data processing or local data storage. And that is why we built AWS Outposts, and it basically allows you to run AWS infrastructure and services on-premises for, you know, a truly consistent hybrid experience. But otherwise, no. You know, the cost in running data centers, the capital expense, hardware, software refreshes, a need for immediate capacity or application modernization is what really triggers customers to move to the cloud. So, you know, and those benefits are what's really drawing a lot of folks. So aside from that, there's really no reason to stay on-premise.
You know, and I want to go a little further beyond cloud and kind of dig into databases. And that's really the space that you're playing in today. You know, when we think about databases and the data that they contain, you know, that's core for the enterprise. And as a CIO, you know, I kind of wonder where that should go. And so how should I think about applying those points when I think about databases in the cloud?
Yeah, you know, so the first thing that I would tell any CIO is it is no longer a one-size-fits-all world. Like, that world doesn't exist anymore. Why? Because one size doesn't fit anything in the cloud. And sort of that sort of one size fits all was something that was very common back in the 80s and 90s, where somebody would buy a particular type of database first and then try to solve all these different business problems. And that's yesterday's way of building. And I wouldn't call that modern in any stretch. And I also remind folks that, you know, while the way we built, you know, for the past 30 years might be familiar, don't let that turn into a blind spot that stifles future innovation. So with that, you know, in some sense, you know, I believe every customer can use data to build a foundation for future innovation. And many things start and end with data. And data is that foundational component of any app and many systems. And while it may not be possible to reason every single contingency that could happen down the road, let it be your industry or the cloud, it is possible to have a strong foundation to prepare for that. And that's important. Why? Because with a strong foundation, you really do stand the best chance to overcome the unexpected and innovate in new ways. You know, and your approach to data in the cloud is the foundation that you're setting for your business growth for years to come.
You know, that's a great point, Sean. And one of the things that you've talked about is just change and how customers and industries moving to cloud need to change and how we are changing. And I know one of the things about in the past is banking and our experience as a consumer using banking. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit further.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun story to bring up, you know, because I remember many years ago, before online banking was really a thing, sitting down with tech leaders back then, and people were arguing like, you know, do you ever do all of your banking online? And, you know, because we kind of grew up in this area, you drove to the bank, you pulled up in the car, you deposited a paper check. And this is what I mean by familiar. That's the world I grew up in. And it was familiar, but in some sense, could you imagine not banking online today? You know, most people can grab their phone, take a photograph of a check and securely deposit it in a matter of seconds, and all the time you just save. So, you know, so I think banking is a great example of, we all grew up with this very familiar way of banking, physically going there. Then this notion of doing it in a very different way was an idea back then that in some sense many, you know, debated or refuted, because is it going to be secure enough or will it really work? And then you look at today and it's a norm. And that is one of my best examples of, you know, making sure that don't let familiarity trap you and become a blind spot that stifles innovation. Because could you imagine if you were a bank today and you had no way of being online with your customer base? I don't know how you'd really survive.
No, that's a really great point. And I think your point of, you know, don't let the familiarity be that blind spot for stifling innovation is really key. You know, when I kind of think about that critical data and how databases carry that critical business data, you know, there are a lot of complex tentacles that the applications touch into. You know, when you think about that on-prem instance within the corporate data center, and so folks that might be coming from an on-premises environment might have significant apprehension to moving to cloud. How would you recommend addressing some of those concerns around the tentacles that touch into that business critical data?
Yeah, you know, I'd say a few things here. So think about it. Just remember that building on the cloud is different from building for the cloud. And what do I mean by that? So in some sense, building on the cloud is very important when you need to quickly lift and shift workloads. Such as going from a self-managed database on-premise to a fully managed database in something like RDS or Aurora. And that is about doing it as quickly as you possibly can, and you're moving the database along with an application. But what's different is building for the cloud is really when you're modernizing your application so that it has a cloud-native application architecture. And here's an interesting aspect on this. You know, with Amazon being a first mover in the cloud, you have this amazing opportunity to learn from who? All of these early cloud adopters. And when you look at these early cloud adopters like Netflix, Capital One, Lyft, et cetera, you quickly discover how they build applications in the cloud is vastly different from how they built them in the past, or how applications were built in the past. And what's really different here is none of these cloud native architectures rely on one type of database. They all use some combination of fully managed APIs that are highly distributed and loosely coupled. So in other words, they break from this large monolith down into these smaller parts to pick the right tool for the right job. So they never have to trade off on functionality, performance, and scale. And what we're really basically talking about here is, how do we take all these learnings from these early cloud adopters and make that available for everybody today? So if you're coming to the cloud for the first time now, here's what's awesome. Your starting point is where those early cloud adopters currently are. So your starting point is basically 10 years after all the learning, in some sense. And you get all of those benefits of these specialized building blocks on day one. And that is a remarkable thing when you really think about it. You're not alone. You've had a bunch of others that have carved out a lot of these lanes to follow. And that truly is your starting point. So my strong advice to any CIO is think of those early cloud adopters, look at how they built those applications, and use that as some guideposts so you might modernize or build a modern cloud native application in the cloud. And then when you do just need to lift and shift and you need to get on the cloud quickly, going particularly from a self-managed to a fully managed environment, you can. And that's one way to manage those tentacles, as you described it, and end up in the right place so you can innovate and grow your business once you get into the cloud.
No, that's great advice. And so how do you, and AWS ostensibly, how do you approach, you know, the concept around purpose-built databases?
Yeah, so the approach here is it's really about picking the right tool for the right job. And when you think about sort of how an app was built, let's call it in the 80s or 90s, a lot of these applications were monoliths, meaning somewhere along the way, somebody purchased a type of database, that technical choice was made, and then later on, the business would discover a problem it needed to solve, and then you would try to solve it on that whatever type of database you purchased earlier. And that's like, you know, basically to say it simple terms, you made a technology choice before you understood what business problem was going to come down the road. And you may not be able to anticipate them all. So what we're really talking about here with purpose built, it's really leveraging a lot of learning from these early cloud adopters that build these cloud native architectures that is effectively saying, hey, instead of building a monolith on one thing, let's break this big app into smaller parts, understand the use case, and then pick the right technology for that given problem. And then this way, you don't have to trade off on functionality, performance, or scale, but your business now has the best agility to innovate as quickly as it can. And that's why you see the set of building blocks that we provide today.
You know, this almost sounds like what you're suggesting is don't take the past approach of kind of trial and error and doing everything yourself, but maybe learn from those existing folks. Are there any programs that folks listening to the podcast are starting down this path could tap into to kind of gain that expertise and knowledge?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're working with Amazon, there's programs like the Migration Acceleration Program, in short known as MAP, or DB Freedom. And these programs basically provide experts, incentives, they're complemented with tools, partners, and all that can help your organization migrate quickly and cost effectively, which at the end of the day is super, super important. And then in that process, the other thing that I would encourage CIOs to do is really challenge your technical teams to think differently. You know, experiment with those new ideas and tools and start to understand and open your mind to those new things, because you need those folks to help modernize your environment.
No, that's great. Great advice. But I do want to kind of delve into the technology just a little bit. So let's maybe take a minute and talk more about the underlying technology. You know, you mentioned the programs that you can tap into, but how would I decide, or how would someone decide the right type of database to deploy? And maybe you can touch on where microservices fits into this, because that's a really hot topic that folks are looking at today in this space.
Yeah, no, it is. So what I would say is always start with the business problem. What use case are you trying to solve? And it might sound trivial, but when you really truly understand the business use case, then that's going to allow you to then think about the access pattern. Is it an access pattern that relies on heavily connected data? Or is it an access pattern that's all about, you know, putting information in with millions of users and pulling information out very quickly? Or is it an access pattern that relies on data to be structured in a certain way and it can only be that way? And this is kind of what I meant before, like just understand the use case, because when you do understand the use case, it gives you the opportunity to think of the access pattern and then let that guide you to the what, then ask yourself, well, what database API is most specialized for that access pattern. Why do you want to ask that question? It's so your developers don't have to trade off on functionality, performance, or scale. To them, it's just an API and it's optimized for that access pattern. That's number one. And then what I would say from a microservices, if you ask yourself, hey, is microservices really the right approach in the cloud? It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. If you look at those early cloud adopters, none of them have built their applications on one type of database. They are all highly distributed, loosely coupled APIs because they need to achieve the highest levels of performance, scale, and functionality. And by using a microservice architecture, you're putting yourself in a position to be cloud native, and then you get to use the right tools for the right job and innovate quick. And then what I would say there is, from a business perspective, you can innovate faster than ever before at a lower cost and a faster time to market. Why? Because you're not limited to what one thing can do. Enterprise IT can overcome the unexpected with minimum disruption and peace of mind. Why? Because the architecture is cloud native and it's built to scale and be available and be performant. And then finally, you know, developers do zero undifferentiated heavy lifting and never have to trade off on functionality, performance, or scale. Why? Because these APIs they're using, they're fully managed, and each tool is optimized for a given use case.
No, this is great. And this is a great way to kind of think about creating that separation, as you said, from the way we've done it in the past to the way that the cloud native organization and culture really adopts this kind of approach and methodology. You know,
if I could just interject here, what I'd say, what you're poking on right now, I actually think this is one of the biggest risks in the industry because in the sense of that old familiar way, you know, because if you take that old familiar way, it kind of goes back to that banking example. You know, remember when somebody might've said back then, oh no, there's no way I'm going to electronically deposit funds, you know, or look at my banking account. Hey, that's a norm. So this is why I always say, just be careful that you don't let familiarity turn into a blind spot. Next thing you know, it stifled your innovation. That's the piece I wanted to add.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, the converse is true too. You know, if someone were to say, hey, you need to go into a banking branch to do a piece of business, you might scratch your head and say, why? So if I kind of take this beyond just the technology and kind of open the aperture a little bit here, you know, what advice do you have for CIOs that might be looking to rethink their overall database strategy? Are there a couple of points that you would highlight?
Yeah, I mean, a few points that I would highlight is one, you know, when you start to think about your new database strategy, you know, one thing that you're not going to read about on a website is the talent that you need. And this usually comes up later in a conversation. Like, for example, I sat down with a CIO once, had this very interesting conversation. I'll try to sum it up. You know, this company has been in business for a long, long time. They are a leader in their space. It's in the travel industry. That's what I'll say. They've had people in their teams and EDAs and, you know, technical leaders and business leaders that have been part of this organization for 20 plus years. And in some sense, the CIO said to me, he's like, listen, you know, I definitely need to think differently. We need to modernize. But I don't know that I have the talent to do this. And what he was really saying is, if we go look at my teams, I've had people here that have done great work, but they've done great work a certain way for a very long period of time. How do I change that? And, you know, one of the things that I was telling him is what I've seen work quite well is, you know, do these things immersion days. So at Amazon, you can do an immersion day or a data lab. But it's a lot of fun when you take a group of developers or you know, technical professionals in your organization and invite 10 or 15 of them into an immersion day to learn some new type of database, whether it be a graph database or a key value or could even be Aurora with Postgres. And what I see happen is there's usually one or two people that all of a sudden they get excited about this new way, and those become the new change agents. in those organizations. So that's something that I have this conversation with so many CIOs, and it's not the first conversation. It's one that comes later. And then this is when they realize, okay, I get the strategy. I get what I need to do, but do I have the right talent and how do I get there? So don't underestimate getting ahead of that curve. And then you can use things like immersion days and data labs to help accelerate that. That's number one. And then the second thing is I'll share the story, a very brief story I had with a bank here in the state of Washington. And this bank was struggling because they were not as modern as they needed to be. They want their customers to be able to open a checking account in a matter of seconds. But at the same time, they have to deal with all this regulation. And, you know, they've only been doing things a certain way for so long. So this particular leader was really anxious. Can I truly move fast? And I'll never forget having this chat with him. It's like, look, the one real benefit of the cloud is that you can experiment and you can fail and it's not expensive because you don't have to spend months standing these environments up and then months tearing them down and then months explaining where all this capital investment went. That is all gone. You can experiment with an idea on a whiteboard to an API in a matter of minutes and it can cost pennies on the dollar. So, you know, I always remind people you can move fast and don't be afraid of it because failure is cheap. And then you'll find that innovation that becomes a breakthrough for your business. And those are ultimately the two things that I would share.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Sean, thank you for taking the time to talk about how cloud plays a key role for enterprise databases and also where to get started. That's all for today's episode. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe. Catch all of the Ahead of the Pack episodes by visiting us on cio.com/podcast/Ahead of the Pack, or by finding us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For IDG and AWS, I'm Tim Crawford with Evoa.
This podcast has been produced by IDG Communications in association with its sponsor, AWS.